Hi guys, good morning. This is Ian here from MSP. I'll be giving a message today. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we come to you humbly this morning. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes, not only to your word, but also to your truth. Let's open our hearts to receive what the Spirit is trying to say to us, Lord, to encourage us, to strengthen us, but also to help us to walk in the destiny, in the works that you have prepared for us in advance, God. And show us mercy and grace, and give us, Lord, the strength, just to carry on, but also deep joy in knowing you and knowing that our life and our destiny is secure in you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Today I chose the passage which is in Joshua. So Joshua chapter 2. This is the story of Rahab who hid the spies. Some of you might be familiar with this story, but maybe this is also a story which isn't always talked about. Rahab isn't one of the central figures in the Bible. She is actually the background for Rahab is that she is a harlot, or she's likely a prostitute, maybe even a religious idol worshipping kind of prostitute, and she hides the spies. Well, the godly men who are trying to spy in the land of Jericho. So we're just starting this from Joshua chapter 2, and my message will be based on her and this person. Okay, so Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly to Shittim, who, as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought the men up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax, and she had laid in order that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. So, just to stop here, I think what's happened is that she had hid the spies, and these are spies who were sent basically by God, right? The Israelites were going to enter the promised land. And they wanted to spy out the promised land. And so these two men were actually sent to check the land to make sure that it was safe for the rest of the Jews to enter the land. And so here is Rahab, who is basically faced with a decision in her life, whether to expose these two spies to the authorities, or whether to actually lie to the authorities. And let the authorities catch these two men, which would mean certain death to the two of them. I won't read on in the chapter, but what happens is that after she's hidden the men and told the authorities that they went that way, she actually goes up and speaks to these two spies, and she says, "Look, I know who you are. I've heard of the stories of what happened to you to the land in who resisted you. I know who's the God that you serve, and I know that that you will surely overtake this land. So she was a woman of great faith, but she was also a woman who made a decision in that moment which would forever change the course of her life. But more importantly, it also changed the course of history, you can say, in a way. Rahab was, and her family was eventually spared. Right, when the Jews overtook the land, everyone was killed except for Rahab and the family. So Rahab and the family actually survived, and that was because she struck a deal with the spies, right? The deal was she would hang a scarlet cord over her household, and they would know that that is the house which they are not to overtake, right? And so Rahab actually, what she does is that she leaves her lifestyle, her idol worshipping lifestyle, her lifestyle of being a prostitute behind. She actually ends up getting married to a godly man. And from then on, she actually becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. So Rahab is actually in the line, in the lineage of Jesus. Now, why did I choose her to be the message of the story? I think there are many sermons that could be based on this story, in the story, and could be based on faith. And it is an example of great faith. But for me, it's also an example of somebody who made a really wise and a really good decision at that moment in time in their life. And I think a lot of times today we find ourselves trying to build up towards something. It could be we try to build up towards our career, towards a certain goal. We try to start a family, we try to get married. We wish the best for maybe our children. We want to achieve something. We build our lives around that. Our social media content is all about what are the great things happening in our lives. Look at our bank account, look at our net worth. And all of that is what it is. But the most important things that we can do sometimes are not really the accumulation of all this so-called social net worth, if you like. Here is a woman who here is Rahab, who's a prostitute, whose entire life was quite the opposite of what we strive towards, whose entire life was pretty much dead in its way. She was not only a prostitute, but very likely an idol worshiper. In the eyes of God, she would deserve to die. There was nothing in her life that was worthy. There was nothing in her life that she was proud of, probably. But she knew who God was. So first of all, she had faith in order to act and decide on something crucial when that point in her life, when she had to make a decision in that point in her life. And what I'm trying to stress is that sometimes it doesn't matter what we've done in our past. It doesn't matter whether we've led a fairly miserable life, whether we've not achieved anything at all. Or the flip side is, it doesn't matter if we've achieved a massive amount of things in our lives up to this point. What really matters, I think, is what we do in the moment by moment decision in as we walk in our lives, the moment by moment things that we choose to do or choose not to do. For example, today I could go out. God forbid I get into an altercation with this stranger on the road. For some reason, he pushes me, I push him back, and then what ends up is a fight. And something really bad happens out of it. And the course of my life could be completely changed from then on. Now, that's a pretty extreme example. But I think that what I am hoping to convey is that the correct decision in our lives can also lead us down a very different and glorious path as what happened in the life of Rahab. And I hope that that is encouraging, and that is also something which can make us more prudent, whether it's in the way we take up our faith, and whether and more how we make our decisions day by day. We always say the mercies of God are new every morning, right? And in a way, that's very true because we have a reset every day. As long as you're alive today, as long as you're listening to this message, as long as you are able to breathe and eat, we have basically, we are faced every day with decisions, with an opportunity to express our faith. We have an opportunity to make decisions that will be that will bless God or will not bless God. And these seemingly decisions in that moment of time could have a massive impact in the trajectory of our life afterwards, right? Here is Rahab. No one would have expected her to be the person to play such an important role in history. You know, there would have been countless of other people who were more established. There were countless of other people who were more dignified. There were countless of other people who had more money, more influence, more power. And yet, they were not the ones featuring in this genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? And so, it doesn't matter what skills you have, it doesn't matter whether you are a polished Christian, whether you have you have experience in this area or not. God can use you. We always say God can use you whatever however you are, in whatever state you're in. But there are at least two things that Rahab did right, that do matter. Because this message could also be preached to somebody who isn't a Christian. It could be preached to a non-believer. What's the difference is that Rahab, on this other hand, she is a believer. She is a person of immense faith, despite her lifestyle, right? She's a person who recognized who the true God is. And she told these two spies, "I know who your God is. I know that you will overtake this land. Now swear to me that you will have mercy on me, and you will not and if I save you, you will in exchange spare my life and the life of my family." And so these two men swore to her and said, "Yes, we will spare you." So this is also she had enough faith to recognize that it was more that her life actually depended on her exercising her faith at that point in time to choose the kingdom of God over the kingdom of man, right? She chose the long-term prospect of survival over the short-term prospect of not being killed, right, by the authorities for lying. She had the faith and the boldness and the confidence to know that God would be able to carry out and do the things that he says he would do, versus, the circumstances that she was faced with when she knew that if she was found to be lying, it would also mean certain death for her. And so this applies a lot to our lives. It applies a lot to my life. Here we are in the in-between times. Here we are in the times before Jesus comes back. We know as Christians in our faith that Jesus will return, right? We know he will return. We know he will ask us to give an account of our lives. And we know that None of the social net worth that we accumulate, if it is not for the kingdom of God, if it is self-serving, we know that it is worthless. And yet we do it. I do it all the time. I think about it all the time. And yet that's the part where St. Paul says that's garbage. That is complete garbage versus knowing the true God and actually doing his work, right? And so what can we learn from Rahab? I think we can learn this from this great woman, that she's an example of how we need to put aside what is currently facing us, this world, and what it tells us to do. We need to put that aside. We need to always daily, on a daily basis, choose the kingdom of God, as she did. Every time we are faced with a decision, every single moment we're faced with a decision to choose the world or to choose God's ways, we must choose God's ways. Sometimes we fall, but God, every day we are brought with fresh mercies from God, and every day we have a chance to play our part. Every day, every moment, we have a chance to play our part in the history of building the kingdom of God. And if Rahab can be recorded in the Bible and she can be celebrated, so can we, right? So can we, because we will eventually give an account of our lives. And when the kingdom of God comes, our decisions, what we did for the kingdom of God, will also be recorded and will also be recounted. And boy, do we want to see how we've played our part in the kingdom of God. However small a part that is, right? However insignificant it might feel, we played a part, and we may have no idea how important a role that part we played is. How that decision in that point of our lives, contributed towards the kingdom of God. And if we think about all the other characters in the Bible, a lot of the times it was that decision that they made at a certain point in their lives that was recorded, which actually released the power of God. It could be Jonah, who eventually preached repentance, right? It could be Esther, who finally stood up, even though that was the only moment that count, and that was the only moment that really counted. And so for us, we have a great encouragement that moment by moment, choices that we make could have an immense impact for the rest of eternity, for ourselves as well as for the kingdom of God. So I hope that you're encouraged, and I hope that we continue to press forward in our faith to build ourselves up and not be discouraged by mistakes that we've made, and not be discouraged by maybe the lack of self-worth. Whoever we are, whoever you are, it doesn't matter what skills you have. It doesn't matter what you've done. It what matters is that humility, that faith in God, and the decision that you will make today, tomorrow, and the rest of the days of your life in towards God and his kingdom. So I'm going to stop there and invite Sterling just to start our worship, and let me end in a prayer. Father God, Lord, we just come to you and we confess, Lord, that sometimes our lives and the things that we choose to do, Lord, are just not of you. The things in our lives where we're not proud of, the things of our life which we wish we could do better at. And yet, Lord, it's your mercy that covers us. It's your grace that enables us to build our faith. So, Holy Spirit, strengthen our inner person, strengthen our spirits, Lord, in our faith, so that we may make the right choice, the right moment by moment decision that will catapult us and the kingdom of God towards the destiny that you have already ordained, Lord. Let us play that part. Let us play our part in the kingdom of God, Lord. And Lord, may you be glorified above all things, Lord. And may your joy be our strength. And may you also, Lord, glorify us, Lord, when we come to you, when your kingdom comes. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sterling. Thank you so much, Sterling. As Sterling was playing that song, I also just feel led to say that we shouldn't be worried as to how our actions, how our decisions lead to great things or small things or insignificant things, every single act that we do, every single service that we do is great in the kingdom of God. And we are told amazing stories in the Bible. We are told amazing things about what people have done. But God is also the God of small things. God is also the God who honors every single thing that we do. However insignificant it may feel, it is precious, delightful, and beautiful in the eyes of God, and just as impactful for the kingdom of God. So, just a word of encouragement to all of us, just to continue striving in everything that we do for the kingdom of God. Let's move towards our community prayer. Let's pray for those of us suffering from cancer. Let's pray for healing, pray for their families, and we pray for just complete covering over their bodies and over all the cancer cells by the Holy Spirit. Let's also pray for those suffering from illness and pray for also their salvation. Pray for those of us suffering from infirmities. So also pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from COVID. Just pray for full recovery of them and their families. Praying for both symptoms and a complete recovery. Pray for our frontline medical workers as well, for protection over them. Also may God's healing and blessing flow through their hands as well. So pray for those of us looking for jobs, looking for breakthroughs, in their jobs. move on as well. We've prayed for our mission focus, prayed for Cambodia, Oasis House, North Korea, and opportunities and partnerships in Asia, as well as the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Pray for our SP weekend gatherings. Pray for all the activities, the amazing things that are happening. Pray for our Sunday services, the Well SP Kids, Spin and Spill, all the classes and meetings. So also pray for the mothers who are pregnant. Just pray for smooth pregnancy. Pray for healthy babies being delivered. We also have house churches gathering this weekend, so we pray for them. Good gathering and fellowship, and encouragement, and pray for one another. Thank you for listening in. Praying that you will have a blessed weekend. May the Lord strengthen you and encourage you, give you power, give you faith, just to just to walk in the good works that He has already prepared for you in advance. Thank you. Bless you. Bye.